Hey, my name is Jason. I'm the producer of Relationship Radio. I wanted to let you know that we have a brand new website solely dedicated to working on your pies. Introducing itstartswithattraction.com. You can listen to every episode, learn about the pies, and sign up for our weekly newsletter. Go to itstartswithattraction.com. It starts with attraction, one word, itstartswithattraction.com to get signed up today.
Chris and Carista, thank you so much for joining me today on Relationship Radio. I am thrilled and honored to be able to have this conversation with both of you.
Thanks for having us.
Well, for the first question, let's have the listeners get to know each of you a little bit. So tell us about how the two of you initially met and what your marriage was like in the beginning.
We met in 2004. I would have been fresh out of high school. Met at youth group. We both come from strong Christian conservative backgrounds. And so we dated for a couple of years. Got married in 2006. We also both come from family business, growing up in the family business and working together. So we also have that same similarity in our backgrounds, and had our first daughter in 2012, and then a second one in 2015, and a third in 2019. So we're girl parents. We've got three daughters. So
that is a lot of females in the house for you, Chris.
It is.
Yes. Yes.
So you said y'all both grew up in the same like you worked together in the same family business. Is that what you were talking about?
Two different family businesses, but the same kind of thing where, yeah.
So it was early on in our marriage, it was very much focused on working, keeping the family businesses moving. How do we be a part of that? And it really became a focus.
Kind of our identities a little bit, right. I think, at the beginning.
Yeah, I can understand that. Are y'all still involved with those same family businesses, or did you exit out of them at some point?
We've exited out of them. We actually both own our own businesses now, small businesses. So we've kind of exited out of the family businesses, started our own in a sense. We're still nearby and somewhat involved here and there, just because pretty much all of our family lives pretty close here. So we're fortunate to be around them. So.
Yeah, that is awesome. And it's nice to have family around for support. So you've been married at the time of this interview, you've been married 18 years. You have three kids, all girls. You're both entrepreneurs and business owners. You have a lot going on. So what was it that kind of led to some of the initial problems that you began having in your marriage? And when did those problems begin?
I think they started kind of at the beginning, just the whole finding our identity in the family businesses, and we didn't take enough time for each other. And then I stepped out of the family business once I had our first daughter, and I always wanted to be a mom, but was not prepared for how difficult it would be. I mean, whoever is as becoming a parent. And I think I struggled with finding or losing myself, maybe in a sense, I don't know, trying to figure out who I am and all of that. I tended to probably live in a little bit of a fantasy kind of thing. I tended to push away like that there was more serious problems and kind of thought we come from the same backgrounds. Divorce is never an option. Like nobody has a perfect marriage, like all of those things. And he would have struggled, I think, a lot more from the beginning than I did. But communication was our big thing, for sure. That true, intimate, honest communication, we struggled with a lot.
Yeah, so early on, I mean, we got married. I was working on a farm. My family owns a farm. And so that takes a lot of time. And I didn't do a very good job at taking purposeful time on our marriage. It was, we got married, we have a house. Okay, now we go to work. You know, like that's what it felt like kind of at that time. And so, you know, there was times early on where I think we both kind of said, there's got to be more to this. There's got to be more than just what we're doing. I mean, it's a marriage, right? Why does everybody feel so high about this, you know? But we're so focused on our jobs and succeeding in our businesses that we didn't take that time to be together. And we always talk now about, oh, we should have done more trips. We should have took more time for ourselves. She says she should have came out and rode with me in the tractor. So, you know, just little things like that, that inside, like, that was kind of that's what I wanted. You know, I wanted her to want to come out and spend time with me, but I never communicated that with her. And so that just kind of held in. And, it's that whole adage of, if I have to tell her, it won't mean as much. And I can't read her mind. She can't read my mind. And so the communication barrier just kept growing and growing and growing. And then, we have a kid, and it's kind of that same old thing. Like, okay, now she's a stay-at-home mom. I will come home now more because I have a child at home, right? I still didn't do that. And I still kept other priorities held higher than what I held our marriage. And that continued to separate us more and more until it was 10 years, 12 years in, it started to feel like it was just going through the motions. But yes, we both had a strong background of, divorce isn't an option. Separation is not an option. And so I'm a person that will just, I'll swallow those problems down and I'll just, just hold on to them. It's like, it's okay. I'm going to make the best of the situation that I can. And it just kept growing. And obviously you start adding more kids into it, more requirements of my time. And it's about that time that we left my family business. And then it just kind of kept building from there just to a breaking point.
What was the breaking point and what did that look like?
What was the breaking point?
That's a question for him.
For me, the breaking point where I felt like that it wasn't a marriage anymore. I felt like I was coming home to my kids who love me. But I felt like I was coming home to a house that I just lived in. For the whole time, I wasn't taking time to break down the barrier with her of communication. I didn't want to fight with her. We never fought. I mean, for the first 16 years of our marriage, we never had a fight. Our fights consisted of saying a few things that were intense and then walking away.
Silent treatment for a little bit.
I'm going to get her back by just withholding myself from her. I'm going to get her back by just not talking to her. Those kind of things. Not at all healthy, obviously. But and then it got to a point where I started, letting other thoughts come into my mind of how, I could be happier elsewhere. I could be, you start getting attention from other people. You start surrounding yourself with people who, may not have the same ideals as myself, but your mind just starts to wander. And I had kind of lost heart in it all. We started getting really busy at work. And I just decided that's what makes me happy. And so I'm going to dive in harder at work. And it just continued to pull us apart from each other even more and more. But as far as like the breaking point, I think a lot of that led up to, to a situation where it finally, I was okay with being unfaithful in my marriage. And it's this continuation of things that I didn't take care of early on in our marriage. I still allowed addictions to, to mess with my mind and everything, all those things that I think back now, I can pinpoint the divide that happened in our marriage and how it affected my marriage. But one of the things, I don't want to jump ahead here, but one of the things when we went through Marriage Helper, they talked about the wall and how it's not just a wall, it's a brick by brick. And I can sit there and label off a lot of bricks that I put up that stopped the conversations to having a healthy marriage and having the communication that we both desired. We weren't allowing ourselves to do it. So
the big breaking point would have been 2022, March of 2022. That's when the affair started, and it was, I was blindsided. It had just started. Basically, he came home from a couple of business trips, had the whole I love you, but not sure that I'm in love with you anymore. I don't know if I want to be married. And to me, I was just thinking about this over the last couple of days too, that like, I don't know that I even believed what was going on, because it was a shock, and like, divorce isn't an option. So he's just going through a thing, like, we're going to go to therapy, like, it's, you know, it'll work itself out kind of thing. And then about a week and a half later would have been Discovery Day. And from there, we had a really rough about six-ish weeks where I did all the push behaviors. I pleaded, I begged, I everything that you can think of to try to get him, first of all, to walk away from the other woman, but also to stay. And it ended up, he moved out 6 weeks later. So it was pretty quick. And then from there, it was probably a month or 6 weeks later before he finally used the word divorce. At that point, he had never really, he would say things around it, but wouldn't actually use that word. And I feel like once that happened, that's when I started digging, and I'm like, there's got to be something else, some other option out here. At that point, he would have said, we're not doing any sort of counseling. We both were doing individual therapy. But I think I just did a Google search, can one spouse save the marriage kind of thing. And that's how I ended up finding Marriage Helper. So I know it took me a few weeks, kind of started going through some of the information, the YouTube videos, things like that. I ended up purchasing one of the toolkits, and I don't remember exactly which one it was, but at the end of each session in there, there was a couple of interviews with some couples. And I just remember Ren and Adele were one of them. And just hearing the tiny bits of their story, I felt like a strong pull to Adele. So I remember looking, thinking, if they have coaching, maybe I should add that in. I might see if I can look up her and see if I can specifically get her. And for whatever reason, say circumstance or divine interventions or whatever, and when I was finally on the website trying to book that first coaching session, it kept glitching for me. And at one point said something about Adele's not taking new clients, and then it would glitch again. And so it took me like a week to finally get set up. I ended up going against my planner nature. I'm an Enneagram 6. So like, I like to plan things out and not leave things to chance, basically. And I end up putting in whatever coach is available. I don't have any preference. And I remember getting the link and seeing the coach's name, didn't think a whole lot about it. And then right before my first coaching session, looked it up, and here it was Ren. He was who I got paired with. And so that was just like, and it ended up being really, really good, because he was the spouse and was the one that was in my husband's shoes. So I felt like I got a lot of insight, and it helped me tremendously. Whereas if I would have gotten somebody who would have been in my shoes, I'm sure I would have gotten the help. I mean, coaching is coaching, like it has the same parameters or whatever, but just knowing some of how he might be feeling was really instrumental in my journey for myself. And then I ended up doing, in September of 2022, I ended up doing the solo workshop online, and did that for a weekend, and then ended up getting served divorce papers the following week. So he ended up going through filing for divorce. We navigated that for a few months. It was going to be a fairly long process with the three kids, with businesses that we owned. So it was not some quick and easy thing that we were going to be dealing with. And then kind of just, I feel like Christmas, January was kind of a change. I think there was a little bit of a shift. I struggled with control and didn't kind of knew it, but that was something that I was working towards in the coaching sessions, even in my own therapy kind of thing. Thought I had let go of it, but I think there was a big shift that happened around Christmas time, January-ish, that just letting go completely of control of the situation and saying, okay, it's just me. Like, I have to focus on me and I can't focus on him anymore. And so once that happened, I think there was a shift kind of, and we ended up just still navigating things. Like, it was, there wasn't really a whole, I tried to put myself out there. I signed up for divorce care class, things like that, to try to move my life along. At that point, I just wanted the divorce over with, like, kind of wanted the event to just be done. And then whatever happened with our story can happen. But going through divorce, it's just this process that, like, makes you feel like you can't live your life, like you're stuck in this limbo kind of thing. I actually ended up meeting somebody at divorce care and started getting to know them just a little bit. And about 5 weeks into divorce care, he ended up reaching out to me. He was actually on a business trip across the world, texted me to ask how the girls were doing that day, and ended up asking, can we talk when I get back? And at that point, I was like, I don't know what else there is to talk about. So I had to take some time. I ended up doing a therapy session. I made a coaching session to kind of go over it with everybody, kind of those professionals in my life, and ended up deciding, this is what I stood for how long. This is what I went through all the marriage helper things for. This is all the toolkits that I did, the workshop that I did, all of that stuff. And for me to throw it away is going to go against my beliefs and values. And so I made the phone call and I said, I have to step out of divorce care class and I have to try this and I have to figure out where this is going to go. And that was almost right a year ago. So we've been in reconciliation now for the past year. Ended up a couple weeks later, we went to the couples workshop there in Nashville. And that was where he kind of learned finally about limerence, which was a big thing, I think, for him to learn that the definition and what it all was. And then we just got a lot of tools there to have a foundation on. So
it was definitely something that is a lot of answers for me that weekend. Because I knew there was times where I would sit there and be like, you know, why do I feel this way? Why do I think this way? You know, what is it that's just blocking me from all this? And even after I'd moved out, you know, the limerence period probably ended in September, October, somewhere around in there. But I still, you know, and I started dealing a lot personally with, you know, this shame, feeling like I ruined everything that we worked for, and whether or not I was going to be able to keep my business, whether or not I was going to just have a family by the time it's all done. And but at that point, it's like, well, you know, we're working towards this. You know what? It's the right thing to do. I've already messed it up, so I'm willing to move on. And yeah, the shift in that kind of happened in around the Christmas time was it was just kind of a thing of figuring out, you know, what does my next 5 years look like? What does my next 10 years look like? And it was definitely a struggle. There was a lot of times where I felt okay with it. You know, we had bought a house. Well, I had bought a house and was living there, but, you know, it wasn't ideal, you know, but it was still that thing in what we talked about, your core values and beliefs, and that was still there. And I fought that a long time. But yeah, then it was just, okay, I'm going to focus on business again. And that's the way I tried to go. And what's best for me? You know, you hear that a lot. What makes you happy? What's best for you? And it doesn't matter who you walk over in the process. That's not my nature. And I knew it wasn't my nature, but that's just kind of the things that were filling my head. Then obviously our conversations changed when the shift happened. And it wasn't the push nature that I had seen before. It was kind of more of a, hey, we got a co-parent. We got kids. You know, how are we, what's best for them? What can we do for them? And I saw that and I was like, okay, well, for my first thought is, okay, well, we can make this work. You know, obviously, you know, we can be separated and we can still do our best co-parenting and our kids are going to be okay, you know, my core values kept pricking at me. And, we had a lot of people in our lives that were reaching out to me. And obviously I'm in a place where don't talk to me. I don't want any help. You know, I know what I'm doing. I don't need help. And so I barricaded myself off from a lot of those people. I was on a trip long ways away. And I text her and just like, it was just kind of an aha moment that it's, yeah, what does my life look like? And I know since I was in that stage of heavy limerence when I first moved out, that anything she suggested we try, whether it was therapy, couples, intensive, all that stuff, I was shut off to it. Like, no, I'm done. You know, you reach a point in your life where you just say, I'm done, and you walk out and that's it. But that really didn't sit well with me then. It was like 16 years can't be for nothing. You know, 3 little kids can't be for nothing. I was like, I can't. Somebody mentioned to me, like, can you live with yourself through this? I feel like you didn't give it every opportunity you could. And my response was always, well, I gave her 16 years, you know? And I just kept saying her. And I was like, I never looked at myself. Once I kind of had that moment of understanding, like, it's something that I got to put forth the effort, you know? And if that means a weekend where we try to figure out our marriage, I can do that. And, fortunately she, I flew home and, drove straight over, it was like 9:30, 10 o'clock, at night, basically was messenger telling her, I'm going to sit out here until I can come in the garage and talk to you. And she finally let me in. And that was when, I said, we got to try. And I could sense in her that there was resistance, obviously. I wanted to try one more time. And I wanted to put forth the effort, because I know what we did for the first 16 years, what didn't work. And I don't want to go back to that. And I want to have another 40 years of something we can be proud of. Fortunately she gave me that chance.
Were you scared to send that text message to her?
I was freaked out.
Really?
I was freaked out. Because I knew there was still some things in my life I needed to clean up. I fought with myself a long time to send that text because I was like, I should just wait till I get home and have that conversation. But I wanted to text her right away. Looking back, I don't know if it was the right way to handle it, just because I was in a situation, even in that time that she figured out later that, you know, it didn't go over very well. I was over there with somebody else. But it was just a thing where it's like, I don't want to be here. I went ahead and texted her and she figured it out and sent me a text back that wasn't encouraging. But I completely understood. And I was like, I get it. You have every right to be mad. You have every right to not even give me a chance. I didn't say I knew that she would, but I was hopeful. And I started to have that hope again that we could fix our marriage. So she didn't want to talk to me until I got home. Understandable. But yeah, I just came home and I was just like, you know, we have to talk about this. And if you tell me we're going to go through with it, that's fine. But I don't want to proceed until we at least say we've done everything we can. And if she feels like she's in that point, I understand, you know, I'll take the consequences for my actions. But fortunately, yeah, she gave me a chance. And when she said something about the weekend down there for marriage helper, I was like, let's go. You know, I mean, it's whatever is we've tried in the past, we got to keep trying and find something that works.
How did your three daughters handle the separation and the reconciliation?
It was tough. The one thing I did do both times when he decided to move out and then again when he decided to file for divorce was I made him tell them. To me, I was clear all along with the girls that this was not what I wanted and this wasn't what I stood for. And so they all had their struggles. Our oldest, she would have been 10 at the time. She suffered almost the entire school year with a huge amount of anxiety, struggled to get her to school because she just, I mean, we tried all the things with her. And so she had a hard time. Our middle daughter had a hard time with it too, though. She cried a lot more at bedtime and things like that. The youngest was little enough to where she didn't really understand everything. And yet enough, I guess, I think.
I don't think she knows the severity of what it was or what it meant yet. She still, so we kept the house that I bought. So she still talks about going over to dad's house and, you know, things like that. And so I don't think she quite fully understands that. She was three. But, you know, with the struggle, I saw the struggle with our oldest. I would take him to school every morning and, you know, we tried to have conversation. But by the time we got to school, it was a struggle to get out of the truck. But I never really saw the crying. You know, I didn't see that part of it.
They showed me that. Right. And so it was hard. I struggled because I would tell him, I would try to talk to him, you know, at the beginning, like, this is what's going on when you're not here kind of thing, which again was just pushing him away because he didn't want to hear that kind of stuff. And he's the fun dad. So they were having fun when they were with him and they weren't going to show him the side where they're sad and where they didn't like what was happening. When we did finally tell them about the reconciliation, I think they were kind of shocked. They didn't really know how to respond. I don't know if they even, you know, it took them a little bit to process. But then it's, you know, it kind of fell back into, like, we know how to do this. Like, we know how to parent and do all of the business items really well. That's what we did. You know, that was how our marriage worked, was because we knew how to do that really well. It was just that intimate connection with communication and friendship and that sort of thing that we struggled with. Like, we could put on a pretty good front.
We couldn't emotionally connect in our marriage. We struggled to have an emotional connection. But yeah. And that's where, yeah, the day-to-day stuff was easy, fine. You know. Mm-hmm. I still remember telling the girls that we're going to try. We're going to put forth things that we're going to make this work. And, they just kind of looked at us like, okay, you know, and I was like, well, don't worry. We're still going to have fun. We're still, you know, but it's just, you know, we're going to try to figure this out. And, you know, our oldest daughter's anxiety has been a lot better. She don't seem to suffer with that. It's a lot easier to take her to school. I think some of that has to do with being a little bit year older, you know, and kind of getting out of that preteen stuff a little bit. I got a house full of girls, but I don't know how they think. So whatever that was, is a whole other thing. So, but yeah, there's obviously, you know, so we're working on the house right now that I lived in. So we're actually going over there, and you know, they're still going out back and fishing, and they're still, hey dad, remember when we did this? Dad, remember when we did that? And it stings a little bit when they talk about it, but you know, it's still a process to understand, kind of what the, obviously they don't know a whole lot of what happened, but, just helping them get through some of that and seeing what the effect was. And I don't know if we've seen that yet, but it's it gives us something to moving forward, taking this experience, and someday, you know, maybe, you know, helping them, like we did this and it did not, you know, like stay away from this, stay away from that, and use it as a teaching moment to help them when they get old enough to start considering marriage and things like that.
Yeah. I mean, I want to encourage both of you that the example of seeing their parents go through the hard thing, but then come back together and make it work is going to be monumental for them in their future. So encouragement that it's going to play out in favor for them, for both of you choosing this, choosing to come back together, choosing to reconcile, even when at times it felt hopeless and helpless. One of the things I would love to know is what were the changes that each of you saw in yourself and in each other through the things that Marriage Helper taught you and that you learned there during this journey that has made your marriage so much better now?
I think one of the biggest things in myself is the concept of acceptance that Marriage Helper teaches. It's the whole thing of accepting that person. It doesn't mean you have to accept their behavior. And I think like it sounds simple, but I don't think I understood that before that was fully explained to me going through the Marriage Helper stuff. Understanding the push behaviors and realizing that the healthy way to, that there are healthy ways to argue, that we can both have a voice, that sort of thing. I think that was part of the struggle when he did come back and ask for a chance, was I hadn't really seen the change yet. So it was, to me, it felt like it was taking another, like a big chance kind of thing. I hadn't seen enough of anything at that point. And that's why I was very skeptical and was a little worried that that it wasn't going to work, basically. And I didn't want to put the kids through that, saying, hey, we're going to try, and then it doesn't work kind of thing. One of the big things for him that I think I saw like right away when he came back was he turned his location services on, his phone kind of thing, which was something we had not done before. He went for himself to a men's conference, which again was not something that he had done before. And then just the immediate agreeing to go to the Marriage Helper workshop, when I had brought that up multiple times and it had always been a no. And so going through that, and I think it just, we learned a lot about the horsemen, the four horsemen, going through that, figuring out like he's a stonewaller. I get defensive and a little bit critical. And so just being aware of those things, understanding if it does come out, we can recognize that and say, you know, I think you're stonewalling me, like help me figure out how to, like, am I coming across as defensive or too critical to make him stonewall? Those are some of the things that I think we learned and things that I saw.
It was basically learning how to argue. I mean, with the four horsemen and understanding, you know, recognizing that the problem's the problem, not this person, you know, and it's, the conversations changed from how, you know, I didn't reserve things and hold them in and then take it out on her later by silence or anything like that. so we learned how to communicate in a much different way. We had some instances that happened early on that we were immediately like, okay, hey, this is one of those moments, right? Like, let's remember what we learned in Marriage Helper so that we can have this the communication the right way. And so that really helped us move through there. And obviously, the pies were a big thing. Like it was interesting because there's so much push on the feeling that love is just a feeling. That love is something that you have, and that it's easy. And that's what I thought it was. And, you know, and it's understand it's a work and it's a choice. You know, she made that comment to me the one time was like, well, it's, you know, you have to choose this every day. And I was just like, why should I have to choose it? Like, it should be a feeling that just flows out of me and it comes out of her. And it's a beautiful, you know, marriage. But it's hard. And it really is hard. And that was going way back to when we were dating and when we were getting ready for marriage. That was never conveyed to us. You know, the learning of how to make a marriage work and the things you have to go through, maybe some struggles, but there's things you can learn that help you communicate, because that's the biggest thing. And we didn't really get that early training, we felt like, you know, thinking back now, that would have helped us. But you know, it's kind of our, I guess, product of your environment. I don't want to say that, but it's kind of the way things are, because it's an expectation. You stay married. And then to work through it, though, again, the four horsemen were big for me. To understand, you know, I don't want to derail things by making a comment I shouldn't make, or just going silent for one.
Yeah. Karista, you mentioned that you did the solo spouse workshop first and several things, coaching, solo spouse, and then later y'all went through the couples. So I want your honest answer to this. Are you glad that you did the solo spouse workshop first? And if so, like what benefit do you think it had? Or do you think that it would have been just as good if y'all had waited and just done the couples workshop together later?
No, 100% doing that first because of where we were at. I had no guarantee that we would ever have the opportunity then to do the couples workshop. Like I didn't have that. And, you know, I didn't know it at the time. I think I found out like a day later or something anyway, that he was filling out that divorce paperwork while I was doing that workshop. But that was huge. I actually met one of my very best friends at that workshop through the little group thing, and I'm still connected with her today, and we talk every single day. And so that was one of the big things. But just learning kind of in depth about the limerence, obviously going through the toolkits and the YouTube videos, it's not that I didn't know, but just going through the course there and being on that group with everyone who was in the same boat as you. Yes, their stories were a little bit different, but everybody was there. And like to have that group for a whole weekend of people that were standing for their marriages, where in today's society, they just say at the drop of a hat, any little problem, like walk away. It's okay. I feel like you just get taught that like you said, everything just should come easy, and you don't have to, if you don't want to put in the work, move on kind of thing. And that's not my nature. I'm going to sit there and fight for that because I feel like that's one of my core values and beliefs. But to see that many people all there because of that same thing was really cool. So 100% the coaching and the workshop to do that beforehand, learning the smart contact stuff so that, again, like I feel like it wasn't till Christmas or January before I felt like I really perfected that. It's tough to not let the emotions and the feelings get mixed in there too much, but just knowing that and learning that ahead of time. And I felt like I was a little bit more prepared than going into the couples workshop, knowing what he was going to hear. But I also felt like I learned a bunch just going through the couples workshop. Again, like new things. It was this similar and almost the same material, but maybe it's just starting in the reconciliation that it just made it different. So I highly loved both of them.
You mentioned, both of you mentioned that emotional connection was your weak point before. That's what you felt like your marriage was lacking. How would you rate or describe the emotional connection that the two of you have now?
I think it's a ton better. I think we still have to work at it. I mean, again, like it's not just going to come easy. Just because you know it doesn't mean it's just going to happen. And so we definitely have our days where we don't necessarily connect emotionally. And one of us will, it'll vary back and forth. We'll say like, I'm feeling a little bit of a disconnect. Like, let's sit down tonight and be phone free, TV free kind of thing. We'll find some connecting questions to ask each other, and it might be one, it might be three or whatever, and just kind of reconnect that way. That's kind of,
yeah. The key is to recognizing that, we call it cruise control, you know, recognizing those moments where, you know, yeah, there's also that, not the disconnect, but just, you know, we're kind of flatlining a little bit and like, hey, I need this. Like, this is a part of, you know, my love language or something like this. Like, we just need to talk and, you know, purposely going out on dates and, yeah, more importantly, just, not allowing the outside noise, the social media, those kind of things take so much of our time that, by the end of the day, we're just so tired, we don't want to talk to each other. So it's an intentional thing that we basically have focused on to have time for each other. And even though if I'm tired, if she comes to me and says, hey, let's just talk, like what's going on, whatever, you know, I'm going to make that effort and not just blow her off and be like, I'm too tired, you know, and that's part of the work. Right. And it doesn't come easy.
Right. That's awesome. But you're intentional about it now, and you have a plan and a way to talk about it and a way to voice your concerns and then knowing what to do next, which is so key. You both have been so open and transparent and honestly answered many of the questions I had written down without me even asking them. It naturally unfolded in the way that you spoke. The last question that I would have for both of you is, what would you want to say to someone who is going through the crisis right now? Either the person initially standing for and wanting to save the marriage, or the person who wanted out, and especially if they're considering whether or not to get help through doing something like Marriage Helper or not.
I mean, it sounds cliche, but it's that whole, there's always hope. I know Marriage Helper says that a lot. I've seen that a lot. And, but there is, I mean, there's so many stories like ours. We didn't go all the way through with the divorce. It was filed, but back in September, it was legally thrown out kind of thing, dissolved, I guess. And so we didn't have to go all the way through, but there's so many stories that the divorce did have to go through. And so just that whole thing that there's always hope. There's other people out there that are going through the same thing. There is a support system, and you can get help, and getting the help for yourself, to make sure that you are strong and okay moving forward, no matter your circumstances.
I would just encourage that from my situation where I was the one who wanted out at that time. it's kind of, obviously every situation is different, but for me, I guess my encouragement would be, you know, looking forward, what do you see your life as? And are you going to be able to move forward knowing you gave everything of yourself to make it work? It's not easy. It's hard. And we still have our hard moments, but are we equipping ourselves with the tools that we need and recognizing that in ourselves that this is where I need to make a change, or this is where I need to work harder to make the marriage what I want to be. Everybody has an idea of what they want their marriage to look like. So what are we doing on a daily basis to make that marriage look like that? If I'm still, like, we had a friend of mine tell me, if I want to find something wrong with her, I'll find it. I mean, that's just our human nature. So if I want to find something good in her, I can find that too. And then it's just, it's working through, understanding that I have the tools to make this work. What do we have to work on to just make yourself the strongest couple you can? And, you know, that some people don't want to put in the work. I was in that place. I understand that. But there's also that feeling moving forward. Dr. Joe gave an example, you know, moving forward without knowing that it was going against what you believe and what that can do to you as a person. And so it's making sure that the tool, you get the proper tools, you look into yourself and understand, I will fight for everything I can to make this work. And then you make a decision based off of that. And so that would be my encouragement is, yeah, keep having hope and keep working on yourself to prove that you want a marriage and that vision of your marriage, fight for that.
Carista, at the beginning of this, you were talking about how you saw Ren and Adele's video and how it was such an inspiration for you. And I believe that the two of you, Chris and Carista, talking through this, you're going to be an inspiration for so many people who are going to hear themselves in your story and see hope from what the two of you shared. So thank you so much for joining me, for being so open. I know that this is going to have an amazing impact on thousands of people who see it. And you are just like minutes away from me badgering you to be part of the Marriage Helper team. So like I see future breakout leaders. I see amazing people that could join our team. But overall, thank you both for saving your marriage.
Thank you.